The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In just a few short hours, the church will begin its observance of the great feast of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, as we stand in these final moments of Advent on this fourth Sunday, we are called as a church to begin to look forward to that feast. And so our readings shift to that story. We step away from the person of John the Baptist, who has dominated the Advent season, and now we look to two other people, to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to King David. We do that because the Messiah who is to come is Son of Mary, Son of David, and Son of God. And that story finds its beginning here on this day. In our first reading, we hear of the covenant that God establishes with King David. King David has finally consolidated his kingship and has entered into a period of peace. And he settles into the holy city, Jerusalem, that he has taken as his own possession. And as he sits in his palace and looks around, he realizes that he lives in this glorious structure while the Ark of the Covenant still resides in canvas. And he says to himself, "It's not right that I live in such a glorious dwelling while the Ark of God's dwelling is still in a tent." And Nathan the prophet initially says, "The Lord's with you, that's a noble thing." But then when the Lord speaks to him that evening, he comes back to David and rejects the idea. And he rejects the idea because the Lord says, "Look, everything that you have, everything that you are, has been given to you by me. I've plucked you out of the fields where you were a lowly shepherd, and I've walked with you and loved you and journeyed with you and given you your throne. And I don't need you to build me a house. I'll build my own house." And then he makes a promise that he will build a house for David, a house that will never end, a kingship that will last into eternity. And that promise reaches its fulfillment in our gospel reading today. The angel Gabriel tells Mary, "He will be the son of David, his father, and his kingdom will know no end." Today we hear the Annunciation story of Mary, and frankly, it's probably the gospel that is read most throughout the liturgical year. Most of the Marian feasts that we celebrate in the course of the year use this particular gospel. And we hear it over and over again, and we usually focus in, I think, on Mary's own response, on her yes, on what it is that she does in the face of God. And yet, I think really this story in many ways is focused less on Mary and what she does and is really focused on what it is that God is doing. There are a number of Annunciation stories in sacred scriptures, and the two that are most related to this one would be the Annunciation to Hannah of the birth of Samuel in the Old Testament, which shares a lot of the language that we hear today, and then, of course, the Annunciation to Zechariah of the birth of John the Baptist, which comes just before this particular story. And they're all very similar, and yet this Annunciation is unique. The other two announcements of the birth of a child and of God's power breaking into the earth come on the heels of people that are begging the Lord for a child. Hannah and Elizabeth and Zechariah are barren. And for years, they pray and pour out their heart that the Lord will answer their prayer and give them a child. And the Lord's response in that is in part a response to that prayer. God responds to the prayer of those who call upon Him. And in that, decides to do something extraordinary through the gift of that child. But that's not true of this gospel. Mary didn't ask for a child. Mary's a virgin who's never had relations with a man, has no reason to expect anything like this. And so the announcement that the Gabriel makes to the Virgin Mary and to Joseph comes as a great surprise. A statement of graciousness that God in His own intention and through His own will, and not in response to any human desire or need, and certainly not through any human agency that He helps along, God decides to give the gift of a child to Mary. And not only that, Mary is full of grace and has already received God's love and God's goodness poured out upon her. And so the yes that she gives to God in today's gospel isn't really in doubt. Mary has been saying yes her whole life because that's what she's been created to be. She has been faithful to what it is that God has called her to throughout her lifetime. And so her yes is just the natural response that she would make to the God who calls her. And it's a reminder that everything that God gives her in this moment and the promise that she makes is simply a gift. Not even asked for. Simply a gift. And God chooses to make His temple, His dwelling within her. My brothers and sisters, as we prepare to step into the Christmas celebration, perhaps most of all we need to remember that what we celebrate at Christmas is purely a gift from God. Something that He did not need to do, but something He desired to do because we needed it, because He loves us. God makes His dwelling place among us. We don't build edifices to God. God builds us to be His temple, to be a place of worship, to be His presence in the midst of the world. And when we are aware of such a gracious gift, when we are aware of the extent of God's love for us, when we become aware that everything that we have, that all that we are, that all we will ever accomplish, that all we will ever be, ultimately is something that is graciously given to us by God, then really we have no other reasonable choice than to say yes. To say yes to God. Wherever it is that He calls us, wherever it is that He sends us. Because God is near to us, makes his dwelling among us, calls us to be an instrument of his peace. And it's all gift, my brothers and sisters. It is all gift. And so we come together this day, grateful for that gift, called to live out of that gift, because God dwells within us. God gifts us and sends us and calls us to be his own. Amen.